What's going on? How are we possibly here that this is already my very last YouTube show for the NFL season that was 2022/2023 now? What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I'm a high-limit DFS player who only focuses on two sports, football and golf. And this is the conclusion of my NFL content for the year. I will still be doing it over on my Discord for all of my members over there. But as far as YouTube goes, it's just golf's back and the big guy doesn't have enough time, okay? It is golf season. Which, by the way, look at me. I know who you are. I know who you are. You've enjoyed my content this football season. You like the cut of my jib. You've kept coming back. And you're like, but I don't want to do golf. I don't give a shit. Don't worry, bro. I was just like you 7 years ago. I was a football tryhard. I loved NFL. Fuck all the other sports and all that stupid pussy shit. All they do is hit a little ball with a metal stick. Great. I get it. I don't expect you to enjoy the game of golf, but I am telling you, PGA DFS is the best fantasy sport out there. I'm telling you, if you just give it a shot, you will see there is such a huge edge, right? Which, by the way, hang around till the end of this video because I have a parting message for you that I really want you to hear about keeping NFL DFS in perspective, right? So, if I've possibly talked you into playing PGA DFS, come out, check out the emergency stream Wednesday, 7 p.m., Lord's time zone. Be there. It will prime you. It will get you ready. It will give you everything you need to know, and I will swear you'll like it. I swear you'll like it. And the best part is it perfectly coincides with NFL, because right when NFL ends in February, that's right when golf takes off, and golf dies down right in August. And what's taking off then? Fucking NFL. Let's go. It is the perfect sport to marry with NFL. PGA, get your ass over there. Hey, by the way, if you want to try it out and you don't know much about PGA, look at this show. I made a big old show, a real show that I had guests on, a whole bunch of great guests, and you should go check it out. I want it to get a lot of views. So if you haven't watched this, what the hell's your problem? It's a great show. It'll get you primed for the PGA season. Good news is you probably watch it anytime this week because no one gives a shit about the tournament happening this weekend. So there you go. Let's stick to where we always start. It is contest selection. Here you go. Hey, you see the big $20 tomorrow? $20, $2.5 million. So 40% of all the money goes to first. Let me do this. Do me this favor. Every time you enter this, I want you to keep track of how many times you enter. That's how many kick you in the nut grams I'm going to have sent to your house, where they'll ring on your door, you'll open it, a donkey will kick you in the nuts that many times, because that's how many times you deserve to be kicked in the nuts for every time you play in this. It's stupid. Okay? If you want to play in it, dream of winning $1 million, go ahead. But I'm just telling you, that is why you always lose money. This is like such a negative EV tournament. Don't do it, man. I know that you don't have endless funds to be doing this. Okay, so this is the first place you can do it. What you should really do tomorrow is focus on good contests. As always, right? Single entries, three maxes. Only enter things that you are going to max enter, okay? Look at the prize structure. Make sure not too much money is going to first. Make sure that at least 10% of 10th place is of first place is going to 10th place. Make sure that at least half of first is going to second. These are good rules to make sure that it is a good, sustainable contest that you want to be playing in. Okay, if you've been hearing me say it all year, well, I got good news. It ain't going to fucking change. And when I come back next September, I'm going to say the same motherfather thing. So you're going to learn to deal with it. That's what you're going to do, dude. Hey, you want to know the best tournament you should play in tomorrow? Mine. The link wasn't up Monday, so it's just now out. Come get in it. First place gets a free week on my Discord, and you get to make a ticket with me for next week's playoffs. I imagine they'll still have a Millie Maker up, so me and you will make it, split the winnings 50-50. Second place, because that sucks to get second, you get a free week on the Discord, and trust me, that's more of a prize than you realize, okay? Because you get all my tools, all my extra content that I do over there. All right, let's get to the first thing we should always check is weather, right? Because if you don't know, things like wind, snow, rain, all of these things can affect DFS scoring by anywhere from 3 to 5 points. So we want to track that. And honestly, tomorrow, I'm not seeing too much that has me concerned. I will notice that Seattle, they are expecting rain during their game. So, you know, you already think DK Metcalf can't catch. Well, now you throw in some rain. Oh, Jesus. It could get ugly real fast. So that is worth noting, right? That a game that on a slate where there's like no high totals, I think that we want to be aware of anything that could lead to the game being even shittier than we anticipate. And that rain could definitely do that. Okay. Hey, by the way, we're trying to get to 3,000 by the Masters. Can you go hit like and sub for me real quick? Appreciate you. Let's get over here to Run the Sims. That's where we always start. Okay. It is the best tool assisted site out there. I encourage you to check it out. This year's almost over, but they do have weekly packages, so not a bad idea. At quarterback, well, you know what? Instead of breaking it down by position, we're just going to go look at every game real quick and talk about it. This is a very unique week. Maybe the only week we have that's like this all year. We have three types of teams. We have teams that are just fucking toast. They have no chance at the playoffs. They'll still probably keep trying, right? They might set out a guy or two, you know, put them, not risk them for the last game. But by and large, they're going to keep their starters in the whole game, right? Then we have teams who have who have a chance to make it, right? They're not in, but if everything breaks their way, they can still make it. So they have a lot to play for. Those are the ideal teams that we want this weekend. And then, of course, we have the teams that are already slotted into their spot. No matter what they do, they're going to just be this spot in the playoffs. And those teams are the teams we want to avoid the most because they're most likely to pull their guys out and not risk injury because they have nothing to gain or lose from winning this game, right? A lot like what we saw the Titans did last week. So we need to talk about who those teams are and what they're doing and how that affects us at DFS and how we need to make our lineups accordingly, okay? So let's get going. So the very first one, you go over here and you look at the optimizer rate and you're like, wait, why is Tom Brady only in the optimizer 0.5% of the time? And it's simple. Tampa Bay don't got dick to play for. They've already booked their spot. They're not moving up in the NFC rankings. So there's a very high likelihood that Brady is going to get pulled early. They're not going to risk Fat Lenny, right? He might run out of breath and blow out a lung or something, right? Rashad White is going to get pulled early. Mike Evans, who is known to be fragile, is going to get pulled early, right? So there's a very, I mean, you could, if you want to play a super weird script, you go play a Tom Brady stack, but just know there's a good chance these guys are going to get pulled very early, right? Rather they get ahead or they get behind, they might pull them, right? And whenever we're trying to chase max totals that we can get in a GPP, this team doesn't really offer it, which is so weird because normally when we think of Tampa Bay going to Atlanta, we think of fireworks, but you ain't going to get it in this one. Now, if you want to be like the ultimate contrarian, you go right on ahead. But I'm just telling you, Tampa Bay is not going to be playing fucking Tom Brady into the fourth quarter of a game that doesn't matter. So just know that. Flipping over to the other side, Atlanta, they don't have anything to play for, but they also don't have anything to not play for. They do fucking suck. So, you know, I actually think that like a Desmond Ridder stack with like Drake London or Cordarrelle Patterson, maybe that they just go out there and blow the brakes off of Tampa Bay. Maybe they can't catch a Tampa Bay team that doesn't care. And I can go ahead and tell you, not a soul on earth is playing Desmond Ridder stacks tomorrow. I'm not saying I am endorsing it. I'm just saying there are worse plays in the world. I'd play a Desmond Ridder stack 50 times tomorrow before I'd play a Tom Brady stack. Moving over to New England versus Buffalo. Well, New England actually has a decent amount to play for. And you can see they actually have some pretty decently optimized players here, right? Jacoby Myers, the optimizer always loves him because DraftKings refuses to pay to knock his salary up where it should be, right? So if you wanted to go some weird Mac Jones when you hear, you can hear. But I will say the one thing you got to worry about is like a Buffalo blowout, right? Buffalo at home just seems to roll teams up. Are they going to play? Well, Buffalo does have a lot to play for, right? They still have to worry about where their seating is going to be, even though they've clinched a spot. So I think Buffalo will be keeping the pedal to the metal. If you think the Patriots can push them, well, then a Mac Jones stack isn't that bad. But I think what's really appealing here is a Josh Allen stack. I think the Bills have all the motivation in the world to win this game. They have all the motivation in the world to beat the shit out of the Patriots because they hate them. And Josh Allen is, you know, has some elite level stats and just got, you know, basically robbed of a statistical game last week. So I, you know, a Josh Allen stack really does seem like the nuts tomorrow. The only concern is when you start out Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, it really cuts into your salary. But I will say this, there are some super appealing punt running backs this week due to so many teams sitting out. So maybe you get on that Josh Allen stack, ride with it, and then punt at running back to make up for all that salary you're spending. Going over, let's start with Chicago. If you don't know, Justin Fields is out, so Nathan Peterman, oh, so bad, is going to be starting. You know, it makes Chicago almost unplayable to me. If I were going to play somebody, it would be David Montgomery, but even I worry about his upside when he has a quarterback that struggles to throw an 8-yard forward pass. And so if I don't like Chicago and don't think they're going to have any efficiency on offense, why would I get behind Minnesota, right? Because now Minnesota, every game they've had this year where they take off, it's always because the other team is pushing them. Rather, they get way out ahead or it's a shootout or they're coming back from behind like they did against the Colts. And I just don't see any way that the Bears are going to push them. I think the Bears are going to play slow and sloggy, and this game doesn't have a ton of upside. And so pieces like Justin Jefferson would normally be very appealing, but we got to worry about him getting pulled early. We have to worry about the slowness of this game, and most of all, you got to worry about that fucking price tag, right? So these are a lot of things that make me a little leery. Although I will tell you, 42.5 point total, although that may seem low, on this slate is ginormous. So, you know, play at your own risk. I could just think of other places I would rather spend a large amount of money. If you don't know, Lamar Jackson is also out. The Ravens basically have nothing to play for. Why on earth would they risk it? You could play Mark Andrews if you want, but I just worry they're going to push him. But Mark Andrews at 5,400 is laughable. He is the second best fantasy tight end in the NFL. And, you know, if you can get him and you think he's going to play a full game, you got to play him. I don't know for sure what the Ravens are going to do, but I have a good sneaking suspicion they're not going to push this thing all the way to the end. The Bengals, however, do have a lot to play for, and I think that they are a great candidate to score 28, 35 points and really run it up. And so a Joe Burrow stack makes all the sense in the world here. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, once again, they were robbed of a game of statistics too, so something tells me they're going to be going after it to get this one because they're essentially playing a full game behind in the, or at least a half a game behind in the standings because it's like a no game they played, right? And so because of that, you know, Joe Burrow just has so many great options. You can stack him with Chase, Higgins, Hurst, Boyd. Hell, even Samaje Perine or Joe Mixon isn't that gross. So the Bengals, super stackable. You just need to hope that Baltimore can do enough to kind of push them and really get Cincinnati to just try to go for like, you know, 35 points and 450 yards of offense. Moving over to Houston and Indianapolis, just a couple shithole teams. But shithole teams, you know what, in the right environment can score us points, and that's all we really give a shit about. And so for the Texans, they always have nice punt receivers. Chris Moore and Brandon Cooks, both at those price tags, if you need a punt option, they are the top two wide receivers for a team that does seem to get a wide receiver there every single week, so that's worth consideration. And then over for Indianapolis, I think I like Zach Moss, and so does the Optimizer. The Optimizer says he shows up in the optimals 15% of the time, and at 5,200, you're going to need that price, especially if you're paying for an expensive Burrow or Josh Allen stack. So Zach Moss becomes very playable, and I don't even mind old Michael Pittman. I think Michael Pittman is going to be a usage monster tomorrow, assuming Sam Ellinger remembers how to throw a forward pass. The Indianapolis team could be a sneaky place to go get some value on a team that has a decent total for tomorrow. Moving on from there, old Joe Flacco's back, okay? You should be pumped if this were 2011, but it's not. It's 2023, so he's terrible. However, if you want to play a sneaky shootout game, maybe old Joe Flacco finds something, right? We know he has receivers. We know he has Garrett Wilson. We know he has Corey Davis. We know he has Elijah Moore. A couple running backs that can bust some plays, and hell, even Tyler Conklin's not that bad, right? Question is, what is Miami going to do? Is Miami really going to push this? They got Skylar Thompson at quarterback, which is a little concerning, right? He's certainly no Tua, but in the limited time he's been in there, he has shown that he can move the ball, and he definitely loves to throw it to Tyreek Hill and to Jaylen Waddle. So because of that, this could be one of those sneaky shootout games, right? And nobody is going to be playing a Skylar Thompson stack, but it could be a super sneaky way, and then you run it, you double stack him with Waddle and Hill, and then you run it back with Wilson. You have a chance to have a home run type lineup because all those guys can go off. And Skylar Thompson actually adds a pretty nice dimension with his legs that not a lot of people know about. But probably my favorite sneaky game tomorrow that I think could shoot out is this Carolina versus the Saints. If you haven't noticed, the Panthers actually get into more shootout games this year than you realize. Since Sam Darnold's taken over these past five or six games, they've been a much improved offense, right? DJ Moore has now had three big ceiling games, and if you don't know, Deontay Foreman is not playing this week, which increases Chuba Hubbard's value a ton. Chuba Hubbard had actually started to show a little sign of life when they went to running back by committee. Now the question is that Foreman is gone. Is Hubbard going to be able to take over that role all by himself? If he is, he is a smash play at $5,000. But I will tell you, when he was the lead back before, he did not do so good. On the flip side of that, I think it's Alvin Kamara week. Doesn't it just feel like a nice 38-point Alvin Kamara week out of nowhere? Chris Olave is really good, and you know, I wish Andy Dalton was their quarterback, and I would even push an Andy Dalton stack, but I'm just too reluctant to do it when we've seen what Taysom Hill does. He comes in and just steals too much of the touchdown upside, especially once they get outside the 10-yard line, right? But overall, I think this game could sneaky shoot out, and I think this is a game that you could stack and run four or five players from and get a bunch of guys into a game that is very appealing that no one's going to be on. Something to consider. Cleveland and the fighting Deshaun Watsons. Okay, not a very great total. Playing in kind of a sloggy environment. But I will tell you, there are some pieces to this game that make sense, right? Both these teams hate each other. Both of them are going to be playing till the end. David Njoku just seems like an objectively good play. Maybe Deshaun Watson finally has that breakout game. I can't believe he's only 5,600. I think that has a lot to do with how conservative the Cleveland offense has been this year. But, you know, if you just go off talent, he's probably the best price-adjusted quarterback on this slate if he could possibly get there. And if he does get there, you almost know certainly he's going to take David Njoku and Amari Cooper there with him. If you like to run that, I got to tell you, Pittsburgh has some really nice run back options. And matter of fact, maybe the real answer is you just run a Steeler stack. Because I got to tell you, I have a sneaking suspicion that Kenny Pickett has a very big week. I don't know why. It's just a feeling. There's no statistical analysis, just the big guy has a feeling, which is a stupid fucking reason to play anybody. But I'm just telling you. The nice thing about Pickett is he's super cheap. You can stack him with George Pickens and Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth, all super affordable, and basically the only three guys he ever throws the ball to. And then if you really want to get weird, instead of double stacking him with receivers, go put him as a 1.5 and go run him with one pass catcher and Najee Harris. Najee Harris has really seemed to get his role back, and this just seems like a game where he is going to get 25 touches. And if a guy's going to get 25 touches at 6,100, you almost got to play him. Okay. So the Steelers, sneaky team to stack. They will be playing. They will be going for it. They hate the Browns. I'm in. Getting to the afternoon games. We're going to start out with the Rams. If you've heard me say it once, you heard me say it 100 times. I love Baker Mayfield, but not an NFL DFS. He's just not a good fantasy quarterback. And because of that, it makes stacking the Rams almost impossible. However, I don't think that you would just want to go completely X off all the Rams. I think Tyler Higbee is a good standalone tight end. And I think Cam Akers actually has been like strangely efficient recently. I thought that guy was dust, but he's actually shown a little bit of a life. So if if you think the Rams are going to be in the rain, they're going to be playing in a slow game versus Seattle, this is a good game to go in here and just get a guy that has low A-dot averages like Higbee, or just get a guy like Akers who's going to be getting dump-off passes and running a lot of and running the ball a lot. On the flip side, Seattle, a Geno stack, the optimizer loves Geno. I will tell you to watch the weather, but if you're going to play Geno, you know the good news is he's going to throw it to Metcalf. You know he's going to throw it to Lockett, although Lockett was limited in practice Friday, so make sure he's active. And I think that Kenneth Walker, I think the best way to play him is go a little 1.5. Go Geno, Metcalf, and Kenneth Walker, and then maybe run it back with Higbee or something like that, right? So a Geno stack's not the worst. I just want to tell you to watch the weather, because this could be a game where Pete Carroll realizes they're going to get ahead. He realizes it's raining. He doesn't want to risk it, and he just runs the shit out of the ball. If you think that's the case, just come in here and play Kenneth Walker and fuck Geno in the passing game. Moving over to the Cowboys. The Cowboys, the optimizer, you would think they would be awesome, but once again, their spot's already clinched. They don't have much to play for, so that really makes most of their guys almost unplayable in DFS, right? Because of that, they are going to, they're going to not be probably pushing the whole four quarters, which really sucks because this game would have shootout potential because Dallas's offense has been cooking, and Washington, weirdly enough, has the kind of offense that could actually push them, right? If you don't know, Heinicke is not playing. We got Sam Howe in there at quarterback, so that probably limits a little bit of the upside, but a guy like Curtis Samuel at 4,000, you need a punt receiver. They just find ways to get that guy the ball, right? And he just seems like he's almost guaranteed 10 points with a 25-point ceiling. That's kind of what you want for $4,000, right? If you need another punt running back to consider, how about old Jonathan Williams at 4,300 showing up in the optimizer? A cool 15% of the time. Nice, right? He is going to be their lead running back. Brian Robinson not playing. Antonio Gibson not playing. So something to look at there. You just got to kind of wonder, like, what's this game going to be like? Is anybody even going to give a shit? To me, if I had to choose one side, I'm obviously going to choose Washington guys over Cowboys. The Chargers and the Broncos, you can see the optimizer really loves some Keenan Allen because he is he's a wide receiver one production-wise, yet he always gets priced as like a wide receiver two. I worry that they're going to, kind of shut down Eckler and Mike Williams. I don't think they're going to be pushing those guys, so that makes me a little reluctant to want to play Chargers. Right? They got a bunch of talented guys, but they're all kind of getting kind of old, or as my grandpa would say, a little long in the tooth. Getting over to Denver, Russell Wilson, he fucking sucks, and watch. Because he's been the worst quarterback all year, he's going to break this slate on the last week, right? The good news about him is he does have Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton to stack, right? That's where most of his targets go. Albert O appears to be back and starting because Dulcich is out and not all the other tight ends suck. But you also got to consider Latavius Murray and Chase Edmonds, right? So I think the Broncos could be sneaky, but I would not mix Russell Wilson with the running backs. I would either go with the Broncos passing game or I would go with the Broncos rushing game, and I would not try to mix and match those. And if you have a narrative that the Chargers are going to push the Broncos could be that sneaky team that scores 28 points tomorrow. Getting over to Arizona, so gross. So David Blough is starting. Okay, wouldn't play David Blough. Matter of fact, I would say most of Arizona, James Conner's out, so I guess you could go play Corey Clement, but here's what happens. A lot of times people think, oh, their stud running back's out. This guy will now be the stud running back. Bro, he ain't that guy. You ain't that guy, brother. So because of that, I would think the only Cardinal that I'd want to play is Hollywood Brown, and that's just hoping that he catches a bomb. So to me, I'm staying away from that. San Francisco, do watch to make sure that Christian McCaffrey is healthy. They've already said if he's not 100%, he's not going to play. And let me ask you this. Is Christian McCaffrey really ever 100%? So I I would be worried about a late scratch for him. Debo's back, which I think kind of hampers Christian's upside a little bit. I do expect Debo to probably get 3 or 4 unique touches, whether that's in screens or in end arounds, or maybe just coming straight out of the backfield with handoffs. Guys like George Ayuk and George Kittle's value really goes down with Debo back now. So if I had to come into this game, I'm really watching Christian McCaffrey's injury, but I think Debo is the one that has my interest the most, right? And I wouldn't run a San Francisco stack because I just don't see any way that Arizona is going to push them. And then lastly, we get to the Giants versus Philadelphia. If you don't know, the Giants have thrown in the towel on the year, and they are basically done. You can see they got Tyrod Taylor going out there, all kinds of slapdicks. So playing them, to me, the only one I'm really considering from the Giants is Matt Breida because he's 5,000 and he's going to be starting. Okay, I think I'd like the other cheap guys we've already talked about. And lastly, a team that does have a lot to play for, and it appears as though their Superman's going to be back, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Okay, Jalen Hurts is trending towards being back. You're definitely going to want to check his injury status and have a backup plan in case he is out. But if he plays, him and Miles Sanders seem like great options. Dallas Goedert seems like an awesome tight end play. And then trying to pick if it's going to be A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith is also the play. I don't love double stacking Jalen Hurts tomorrow. I don't think that he's going to get two wide receivers there, especially two expensive wide receivers in a game where they're not going to get pushed at all. So just be aware of that as you're making your decision, right? Hey, let me ask you something. Does all this information just overload you and you just want it broke down simply? Well, let me tell you about what I do for my Discord. You see this right here? This is called the Rosetta Stone. And I go and I put all the players in here and I talk about injury risks and guys you got to watch out sitting. And if they're good, what their ownership is and what their correlation is, like if you should play them anywhere, if you should only play them in stacks, and I do it for all the games. I give them games they should target. How do you do that? Well, you come check out my brand new website that will be up Tuesday. It's not up yet, you mother father. It will be out Tuesday. Now, if you're already wanting to sign up before then, just reach out to me or the editor. We'll get you signed up. We already have the sign up. We just don't have the website yet, but as you can see, it's coming, right? So be looking out for that. We do golf. We do college football. We do NFL football. It is the best community you'll ever meet. We teach you how to play the game. We don't give picks. We give the Rosetta Stone. It's the best community you'll ever find. Lastly, go give me a follow on Twitter. I am trying to get the numbers up over there. Here's my closing thought. This is the last NFL show I'm going to do this year, and that man right there is called Ted Lasso. And he always talks about believing, right? So much of NFL DFS, people make their they look at the end of the year and they say, I lost again this year at NFL. Okay. And what I want to remind you is the NFL season is only 18 weeks long, right? And when you're only doing 18 weeks, that's only 18 slates to hit something. Think about what a small number that is. You're not giving yourself a large enough sample. So what I am trying to tell you is don't judge your success simply just based on how you did this season. You need to learn to trust to not be results oriented, to just say, well, my results said I was a loser this year. Go look at your process and also look, zoom out and look at how you've done at football over a 3 or 4 year period where you have a big enough sample to see if you're really doing things right, if you really have a broken process, or if it's just a bad year of variance, right? This year at NFL football, I am miraculously 8. I'm a GPP bro. I don't play cash in NFL, and I cashed 8 out of 17 times this week. An insane rate for a GPP bro. And I basically won a little bit of money for the year. I didn't hit a single big GPP all year. Does that mean I now suck at NFL DFS? Does that mean my process is broken because I didn't smash any GPPs this year like I have in previous years? No. It just means that the sample was so small that there wasn't it's just in any random 18-week period, you might not hit that GPP. And that's what you have to remember. I was not results-oriented. I was very happy with my results, even though I didn't win tons and tons of money this year like I have in other years at DFS football. And so, did I win? Yes. Did I win enough to pay the bills? Not by a long shot, but I'm not going to overreact. And I'm going to remember at the end to be positive and optimistic. And at the end, remember it's for fun and to always believe. That's it, guys. That's the NFL season. I hope you've enjoyed my content this year. I will be back with NFL probably in August doing best ball. I hope to see you guys again. I hope you come check out my PGA. I'll see you Wednesday for the live stream. It's been real. It's been a great year. Hope you enjoy this outro.